In this episode, I speak to a serial entrepreneur who's built a cold outreach SaaS that's growing rapidly. During our conversation, we'll go into multiple unique ways to use cold outreach that I'm sure you haven't thought of before. This conversation will change the way you think about cold outreach and get you excited about the possibilities that come from scaling it. I'll see you on the other side.
What if you knew exactly how to use cold email, LinkedIn, the phone, and other sales channels to get new meetings and customers for your B2B product or service? Morgan Williams is an enterprise sales rep that's obsessed with cold outreach. If you are sick and tired of fluff, theory, and general advice on how to sell to cold prospects from people who haven't sold anything in the past 20 years, and instead want detailed, tactical, step-by-step instruction, this is the podcast for you. Each week, he'll interview salespeople, consultants, and entrepreneurs about actual outbound sales campaigns they've run with real numbers and results. Each conversation will be a deep dive into deconstructing a specific campaign's results, as well as the strategy behind it. You'll get the opportunity to peek behind the curtain and see what's actually working now in cold outreach. Welcome to Outbound Metrics.
Abdul Mukadi is the founder of OutreachBin. OutreachBin is the go-to email warm-up and outreach platform for your business. Abdul, are you ready to dive in?
Let's do it.
Awesome. How does OutreachBin get results for its customers?
You know, OutreachBin is a cold email outreach platform, right? Mm-hmm. So the idea is that we're helping customers save time when sending out emails. That's probably the biggest gist of it. However, for us, for you to get real results, you have to hyper-personalize. You know, you have to build the right copy. You have to do follow-ups. And all of those things are built into OutreachBin. It's a tool that helps you and guides you through this process of doing it right. At the end of the day, when you're using OutreachBin, you know, you're checking off all the check marks that you need to when you're trying to do a cold email correctly.
What makes OutreachBin different from the other cold email platforms out there?
Yeah, I think at the moment, because we're still growing, we're very, very customer centric, and we plan to be like that going forward. Every feature that we build is based on an actual use case and customer need. We look at our audience and say, what exactly do you need? And there's customers always requesting things. And we see anywhere between 5 to 10 customers say the exact same thing. That thing gets prioritized right away. And I think customer centric is just the way to go.
What are some things you guys have built based on customer feedback?
Actually, we were not really looking into going into in-depth metrics for our warm-up tool. But a lot of customers said, hey, we want in-depth metrics for our customers. They're currently asking for a score, a way to check if MX records exist, a way to check if they've connected their domain correctly, right? And all of those things we've actually built in, and we're building the front end now for them. That's just a very, very brief example for example, threading. The threading is a very big one. People are saying, hey, we're sending a follow-up, but I want this follow-up to be like a bump in my email, and I can't do that. It looks like my follow-up looks like a totally different email. That's never great. How can we thread? And we said, oh, this is fantastic. We didn't know this was such a critical need. So now we have threading. You keep the subject line the same, and then your next email will bump the previous one, and your third one will bump the other two. Mm-hmm. So those are just some very brief examples, but
absolutely. Who would you say is an ideal customer for OutreachBin?
When we started off, our ideal customer profile was what we thought was anybody who was actually an expert in cold emailing. And what we realized is we have a lot of people who are very beginners in cold emailing, and they need a platform. And there's another subset of group of people who are really good at cold emailing for themselves. So they've now built a business out of it, and they are just starting off their business and pushing it up the notch. And they're looking for a solution that's not hitting the bank really hard, so they can earn profits. So those are two customer profiles that currently we target and are in our base.
Awesome. Awesome. Thanks for that kind of big picture background look at OutreachBin. I'd like to go now into, you've done a lot of cold outreach yourself. You've obviously been working with a lot of different customers who are doing cold outreach. I like to go into, a couple different scenarios, anecdotes on how OutreachBin has been used in the past, but really just, taking a broader look at cold email and how you go about it, how your customers go about it, looking for kind of interesting things you found since building out this product.
Yeah. So I think industry-wise, right, we never, since the start, we ourselves have been looking at how different industries use the product very differently. Then the who targets who, it's been actually eye-opening. I for example, I've seen anywhere from, let me get into the gist of it. A user actually used it, not for clients, not for bringing in more sales, but actually to get a job. So this person used a Chrome extension, went out on LinkedIn and Indeed and, you know, other job sites, corporate sites, found the job postings that they liked, saved those emails, right? Made a CSV, hyper-personalized them. I think they connected with Hunter to verify all the emails, and they connected with LinkedIn to find the people that are for the job postings. They came into OutreachBid. They uploaded that CSV. And I think they had about at least four follow-ups. I believe after this process, I think it did about 3 weeks, if I'm not mistaken. And this is right when we got started. So there was no threading at that time. You have to understand there was no, you know, a lot of the features were not there. You even had the bare bones of this. They sent out a total of, I believe, 465 emails. Okay. 465 emails. They had in their first email that went out, their open rate was very, very low. Almost, it was about in the 20s, 25s, right, percents. And they came to us and asked why. And said, hey, there's absolutely no personalization. There's absolutely nothing going on here. It's just a generic email. There's no name. There's no first line personalization. Do you know we have variables? And, you know, you can upload variables and you can actually use them to hyper-personalize your copy. You can switch out first lines if you wanted to. You can upload a CSV with all this information. Pause the campaign, went back. That's when he did the hyper-personalizing, finding stuff on LinkedIn, finding information, building out first liners, brought it back, bumped that up to about 70%. Wow. And instantly. It was crazy. And the other thing he did better prospecting. I think so. I need to mention that. It's not everything is not in the tool. It's how you get ready, right? So his list was more curated. It wasn't just a generic email now. He's looking at exactly not only the people that were posting, but the other person up in the line, right, up in the chain of command. So so there's people who post, and there's another HR specialist as well. So he was contacting multiple people at the same org. And at the end of the day, I think he got interviews and everything sorted, 13 job offers.
Wow.
Yeah, so this is, you know, I was like, I never thought we would, the tool we built today is going to be used like this, but it's fantastic. I think it's mind blowing, but you know, that's one use case. I've seen it everywhere, from users pitching it to dentists to build websites to just agencies managing their clients. And a lot of our customers are that. It's agencies managing their clients who already have clients and getting results for them. It's currently being used a lot. Let me give you another example for real estate. Mm-hmm. And actually, a very close friend of mine who said, "Hey, Abdul, I have this massive list." And for him, that was 3,000 people, right? But this was very targeted people who know him personally. And it's not an open cold prospect list. It's mm-hmm. actually people he knows business-wise. He said, you know, I've been this person, a go-to person that people come to me for real estate advice, and I really want to get into this. He started a campaign with us. Three-step campaign, just an intro. Hey guys, I know you guys always come to me for real estate advice. Planning to start a YouTube series, right? And I'm planning to start a course. How many of you are interested? This is just like a mini series, and try to see what type of result he was going to get. The idea was he would see from the list who wants in, get them like a $7 downloadable, and from them move them to a course, right? I think from that list size, I believe he had about, when it came down to the course, I think it was a $300 course, $299 course. I think he got about $3,000, right? So not the most impressive results, but for him, this was never possible, right? He didn't think that on autopilot from his list, he was gonna send out a follow-up and send out another follow-up, and automatically it's gonna turn into results. Mm-hmm. And he tells me now he just uses it as a normal part of his routine in his business to automate follow-ups. the majority of the results I see are not the ones that somebody's sending out 50,000 emails, getting 10,000, replies or anything like that. It's the small guys that are trying to grow their business and getting small results that they're really happy about. Those are, I guess, two that come top of mind.
Yeah, those are two really interesting ones. Heading back to the one about the person applying for jobs or looking to generate job offers, how long was that campaign? How long did that person do that for?
I think it was 3 to 4 weeks. Because we stopped in the middle to go do the prospecting again.
Okay.
So I believe it was between 3 to 4 weeks. That's what it was.
Okay. And do you know roughly how many people they had in their campaign?
I think it was 465, I believe.
Oh, okay. So they have the 465. They had 465 people in the campaign.
Yeah.
And they were sending 4 follow-ups to those,
exactly,
those people. Gotcha. Yep. Awesome. And so when he added, when he or she added in that first line of the camp, or that was the only variable they added, that first line of
personalization. Actually, name, first line personalization. So what they did is went into the CSV. First of all, they didn't know you could do either. Mm-hmm. So we can. So went into the first column of CSV, called it first liner, and then went into their LinkedIn profiles and looked what they're all about, wrote a custom first line for each one of them.
Right, for everybody.
Uploaded it because it's not a lot, really. They uploaded and instantly just changed the dynamic of the game. I think one of the bigger things is now every email that was going out was actually different, mm-hmm. And I think that makes a very big difference. Even though you're using a software, you don't want to just copy paste a template in and blast it to 5,000 people or 500 people with the same exact, even if you have 2 or 3 custom variables in it. Changing a good portion of it makes a big difference.
Gotcha. That makes sense. The email copy, do you recall what kind of was in those emails and follow-ups, what they were asking for, how they were structured?
Can't remember the first one. I'm going to be honest with you. The last copy was more so a nudge, right? A nudge to say, hey, just following up here. I know this might not be a perfect fit. However, it was an ask to communicate with them if another job offer comes up that they do think that this person is a good fit for. Second is if they could introduce them to somebody, I think the other way around. So if they think that this person is impressive, right, to basically let their colleague know, or I know it was worded very differently,
The hiring manager know,
or other people know that this person is open in the org, right? If there's another team, if there is another team that is also hiring that fits this person's profile, to let them know.
Gotcha.
And I think, if I'm not mistaken, I think 2 or 3 people replied just on that. So it wasn't it wasn't a positive reply, but mm-hmm. it was a reply in saying, hey, I don't think this is a perfect fit. However, if an opportunity comes up, I'll let you know. And the one person, I think, just kept it open and saying, I'll just follow up with you. I'm not sure what happened with that.
Sure. I was just going to say, keeping the main thing, 13 job offers in 3 to 4 weeks.
Yes.
From 465 people. Like, I see it as okay, so they were targeting actual job postings, right? Yeah. That's one thing. There is a need there. There is a need present. That's an intent indicator. They knew exactly who the right person was because they had posted it on LinkedIn or wherever. And that can be half the battle with cold email when you're going into a large org, is who's the right person I need to actually talk to. Yep. And, most people don't do that, right? Most people just click one click apply, boom, 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 boom. Yep. They wade through it. Most people don't reach out and say, they don't go that extra step and reach out directly. Here's the ad, I apply to the ad, hope they get in touch with me.
Yeah, I think that's what that's kind of it just shows going above and beyond, right? You click one click apply, or you upload your resume, but this person followed up the first time. Hey, I did apply. I did X, Y, and Z. I'm looking forward to speaking with you. If you have any questions, contact me. And then getting another and getting it kind of just, I think it for me, when I saw this, I said, this is wow. We built the software. We didn't think about this, right? Mm-hmm. And now I see a whole different market here. And I see a lot of people that are in the same position that could be doing the exact same thing. And hopefully we're going to work out a way to facilitate this process and have other people replicate it.
Absolutely.
In a market that we're in right now.
Absolutely. The real estate example, that was someone who, they had an existing opt-in list of 3,000 or so people.
it was 2,800 or so.
In that neighborhood. Yeah.
In that neighborhood. And this was somebody, you know how you have somebody probably in your circle, you have a go-to person for X, right? You go-to person for tech, go-to person for software, go-to person for X. This was that go-to person for real estate. And it just so happened that his circle kind of grew a little bit bigger, friends of friends. And he just started accumulating emails. I think a year ago he had told me, hey, I have all these people contacting me. I said, how are you sending them information? He said, yeah, I would just email them. I said, okay, so let's start capturing the email. And this time, that we didn't have it even outreach bit at that time. Mm-hmm. So now when he came back and tried to revive and say, I want to do a course and I want to teach and do all this, that list came in handy.
Nice. So this person just had people who are reaching out to them like in Gmail or something who were like asking for information. Okay. Wow. And they just put them together and then automated, hey, I'm planning to start this YouTube channel, right?
Yep.
Offered a $7 downloadable, and then people who bought that got offered the course or something like that.
Got to the course. Yeah, correct. I think he's on a next campaign where for the $7 downloadable, instead of the course, he has a workshop, a live workshop thing going on. So I'm probably going to follow up with him and see how that campaign is going, So that's going to be very interesting to see, because there's a lot of people who don't want courses. They want hands-on training and they want to be right there and to speak to somebody and ask questions. So
Sure. And I think it's really interesting to hear stories like that, because I just think, you and I we know people in similar areas, cold email, right? Yep. Facebook groups and stuff. And it gets to the point where you're usually talking to people who've been doing this stuff before, and they, they understand it, and there's a certain level of, knowledge around it. But it's really interesting to hear people who don't know about this technology, don't know that, hey, there's something that I can use to send out personalized emails to a group of people, and not just that, but follow up with them. And if they respond, it stops. Like, I remember the first time I heard about this type of stuff years ago, when I first learned about it, I was blown away. There's still more developments being made in this type of technology, like what you guys have with you do auto warm up, right? That's a huge pain point once you start getting into learning email and learning about why warm up is important and why you have to do it. That solves a huge pain point. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I agree with you, man. There's a lot of people that they were doing this because they don't know cold email software exists, right? So they're looking at MailChimp to do this.
Right.
And MailChimp, they upload a list and MailChimp says, no, you can't have this list. Yeah. And then they're paying by contacts and they're saying, oh man, my list is 5,000. Why do I have to pay $80? And the whole, how many emails can I send? And yeah, we definitely solve all those problems for them without any limitations, anywhere there. So definitely, yeah. And cold email, warm-up, I think, is, when you look at a tool and you say, what part of this tool 99% of users use by default? It's the warm-up feature.
Yeah.
So yeah, when a user signs up, it's kind of one of the, in our paid plan, because we only have one, but the first thing that they do is warm up their email. Even if they have a warmed up email previously that they're bringing in, they warm it up. And I think that's a very good practice overall in general, just so they can keep track where emails are landing.
Can you explain warming up for anybody listening who may not understand what that is?
Sure. Sending out email, right? If you have a brand new email address and you send out email to recipients that you don't really, even if you know them or you don't know, your email providers, like your Google or other recipients, can see this as spam, can see it as somebody that's randomly just emailing this person. And in most cases, a brand new email will sometimes land in spam box or the other folders or your promotions folders. So how do you actually solve this problem from your email landing in spam? New or not, you have to warm it up. So what people would usually do is they would get a group of people together, a group of people that they knew, and they would send out an email, tell those people to, hey, can you move it from spam to inbox? And can you reply back to me? Mm-hmm. And they would try to do this process. And this was a manual, tedious process. And nobody wants to get 100 people that they know to do that. So we have email warm-up software. And the software automatically writes the email for you, sends it out in a gradual process over time. So you send 2, 1, 2, 4, 8, over time every day. And it will automatically reply back from everybody else in the group, because we have thousands of people who want to do the exact same thing. So it's a peer-to-peer network, everybody helping one another reply back and send emails to one another. And if your email does land in one of a peer member's spam box, the our software will automatically go in, move it from spam, move it to inbox, move it from promotions, move it to inbox, move it from other, move it to inbox. Wow. And then we mark that. And you can see that over time. You'll see, hey, I landed in spam for 2 days. Oh, look, I'm out of spam. And now I'm going really good and steady. I'm sending 40 emails a day or, you know, getting X amount of replies. And over time, you're ready to start sending cold email.
Awesome. Awesome. I'd like to know, are there any other examples that come to mind, like on the kind of little mini stories we've talked about with folks? Are there any others that come to mind that like are unique, or doesn't even have to be super unique, but you know, a customer who's had success using the tool, anything like that? I really enjoyed hearing about those two examples.
Yeah, for me, it's been slightly different in the case of, I'm still in the process of gathering these examples, right? Mm-hmm. Because these were very unique times where people reached out to, you know, me personally. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of people that they just run with our software and they get great results. So we're still in the process of reaching out to the people and saying, hey, if you have had a great story with success using our software, we'd love to know. So we're still compiling a lot of those. But maybe I'll talk on the feature side. What is one thing that helped? Because I know we've touched into warm up. There is a person currently that is running an agency. And the one thing that got them to ramp up their agency clients was actually our warm up feature. So believe it or not, they were using a totally different software just for cold emailing. And that's all that software does even till today, right? All it does is cold emailing. They tried out Outreach Bin. They moved their clients to Outreach Bin. And because we allow user accounts, it's kind of team member accounts. So they gave their client a team member account. The client logged in and said, hey, what is warm up? And I believe the client had given them 15 accounts to work with. Once they saw warm-up, that ramped up to about 50 to 60. All of a sudden, they saw, hey, they could ramp up their process and get into inbox. So it just boosted their business. Like, this guy just came back to me and said, hey, I didn't know I should be selling this, right? I didn't know I should be focusing on this. And I said, man, you do cold email. Of course you should be focusing on it.
Sure.
Warm-up should be, you know, the bread and butter sometimes, more than the cold email part. Is just something I think future-wise that really, really shows people that if you are doing cold email and you're not warming up, it's like going to a gunfight with a knife.
Yeah.
It just doesn't make sense at times.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You have a background in outreach, right, for SEO.
Yeah, for
is that
SEO,
right?
That's correct.
How did you use outreach back then when you were doing, or not the tool, but just...
Partnerships. I like to call it partnerships, right? People call it link building. People call it whatever. There's a lot of words for it. I think my background has been just having teams that we would reach out to people and to build partnerships to get links. We would go to Ahrefs, download like a skyscraper technique, right? Download links, see where your other people are linking to, see what articles have dead links, bring those out. Reach out to those people, find their email addresses, you know, using an enrichment software, reach out to those people and say, hey, seems like you have a dead link. I'm an avid reader of your platform. Of course, it works. The copy in this case matters so much more than the process, because there's a lot of people now that know the process. So they know exactly how to do this. They know exactly how to find dead links on a website. They know exactly how to enrich. But what they don't know is how to actually hook the person when they read the email. Because a lot of people will open the email.
Right.
You write in partnership and they're going to open the email. It's just that when they see that same format of saying, hey, I'm an avid reader of your platform and this is the link I sent, this is empty, this is what I want to do, that doesn't work anymore. So the first emails, got to get those links to go. There should be absolutely no links in here. Opening in, hey, love your content. What content do you love? I love this content, not a link, actual, like a first line opener, right? I love this new article that you wrote. I have some ideas about X, Y, and Z. Who can I speak to? If you're the right person, if not, can you get me in touch? Not talking about link building. You're not talking about absolutely anything. That's a partnership email. More cases than not, people are nice. They'll say, hey, I'm the person, or I'm not. They'll move you up to somebody that is. And you're sending it not from a Gmail, like the generic Gmail. You're sending it from an actual business looking email, right?
Right.
So we append it, you know, not a .com, maybe a .io, maybe that, you know, or .net. That what if they look at the, you know, sender name, if they look at the email, they're good. You know, they're going to forward it over. And that actually tends to work. Of course, there's a lot more variations in this. And we've been using this to build our partnerships. And what I mean by that is sometimes we will do deals together, right, with different businesses. And we'll say, okay, here's a deal from one of ours, and here's a deal from yours. Or if somebody in my network has a deal for something that I can offer them, or vice versa, or get them placement on a blog. Or, for example, somebody was recently writing an article on top 5 affiliate programs in the SaaS industry. And if it's a top list, you might, you know, it's only 5. Maybe you want to be the 6th person on there. That's pretty valuable, you know, because this person had a big following. So I can take that idea and pitch it and say, hey, this is, I can get you on here. And here's where we need some help with maybe an integration or getting on your integration list or any of that sort. So I think those partnerships is what one is very, very, very valuable for if you're a software business, but it works across other industries as well. In general, if you have a website, you're building out these partnerships and just for exposure in cases.
Mm-hmm.
But you can only do so if you have authority, I believe. So,
what is is form partnerships with authority, or get exposure from authority?
No, I think build your authority. What I don't mean in the SEO sense. I mean in the sense of subject matter experts, right? So if you look at Outreachman, we're working on doing that still today. It's a process So to our customers, some of them will already see, okay, Outreachman is going to be an authority to them on matters of their campaigns. Mm-hmm. However, if you look at the broader audience, the C doesn't know about Outreachman yet, right?
Right.
So Outreachman has to do something as a business to attract these people to have them know, hey, I can tell exactly what steps we're going to take. We're going to look at how many emails are sent from our platform. When are they sent? We're going to analyze data. We're going to use the data that we have and metrics, right? And say, how do you know how many follow-up emails are needed before you get a reply? I could say from 1 million emails that went out on the Eastern time zone between 9 to 5, Tuesday was the best day, and it needed 4.2 follow-ups. Like, I'm just coming up with this data. We're going to use data to get these
types. Right.
That's kind of what I'm trying to paint the picture. And come out with these studies to help people actually build better campaigns, hopefully. Yeah, that's the goal. So you want to do something like that for your business. Now when you have that, now imagine doing the outreach part. It's very easy. You can even get up to, you know, somebody on a Business Insider to pick it up if your data is that good and you're the only unique authority doing it.
Yeah. Unique data sets definitely get a lot of attention
online
for sure. Yeah. That's awesome, man. Pleasure having you on. Outreachbin.com for anyone who's interested in checking out the app. I've seen a lot of buzz around it lately, so definitely worth checking out Abdul and his team. Abdul, pleasure to have you on.
Thank you so much for having me. Really appreciate it.
Awesome. You have a good one.
One thing this interview proved is that there is a lot of value in sending cold email. It's not just for booking sales calls. Cold email is about connecting with others and starting conversations. You can use cold email and your creativity to connect with anyone and create whatever you want out of thin air. If you enjoyed this episode, make sure you subscribe and share it with a friend. Thanks for listening.